Here we are in the Congressional Corner with our friend Antonio Delgado, who represents the 19th beautiful district in New York State. So tell me, if I may, Congressman, what does the American Rescue Plan that is being espoused by Joe Biden having as an effect on your district? What do you think people are thinking about it?
I think people feel generally pleased with the plan. It's a bold plan that meets the moment. It's a plan that's getting shots in people's arms. It's a plan that's put money in people's pockets. It's getting our schools situated for reopening, and it's helping folks get back to work. We're seeing a lot of progress here that I think is incredibly encouraging. And what I hear from folks across the district is they're feeling the impact of that. And one of the things that I'm particularly proud of is my direct support for Communities Act. The funding formula was ultimately included from that bill in the American Rescue Plan. And it's the funding formula that ensures that every single local government of any population size, so counties, towns, and villages, would get direct relief to invest in our communities, to offset the negative effects of COVID-19 over the last year. I think we've spoken about this in the past. When the CARES Act passed in March, there was no state and local funding for government units serving populations less than 500,000 people. And you mentioned how beautiful New York 19 is, and it certainly is. I'd argue the most beautiful in the country. It's incredibly rural, and we don't have any towns or counties greater than 500,000 people. So we were left out in the cold in terms of direct local aid. But the funding formula that I introduced in May of last year ultimately made its way in the American Rescue Plan. And because of that, nearly $10 billion of relief is going to New York counties, cities, and towns and villages. And over $400 million is going to New York 19 local governments alone. And that money is going to be incredibly useful in investment in infrastructure, broadband, wastewater management systems, support for nonprofits, small businesses, you name it. A lot of flexibility. I've been meeting with a lot of local elected officials across the political spectrum, all of whom are incredibly pleased with this component. But it's not just that. It's the economic impact payments, the child tax credit, massive moment historically here. We're lifting so many young people out of poverty. The school funding, so a lot of good stuff in this bill that I think is really going to allow our communities to sustain themselves as we move forward.
So Biden's next priority is a sweeping infrastructure package. As a member of the Infrastructure Committee, what do you want to see in that bill?
I think it's a big moment, a big opportunity. A number of our counties in New York 19 have roads and bridges in disrepair. In some cases, 80% of the roads are in disrepair. We're talking about moving product, livestock, you name it, along our roadways. We've got to do better. Your traditional stuff is important. Your roads, your bridges, your public transit, your airports, your railways, ports, all of that. I know a lot of money in the proposed bill is going towards that. But in the same way we have above ground infrastructure, there's also beneath the surface that's so important. And the president talked about this last night. We have so much need in terms of upgrading our water infrastructure and our wastewater management systems. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of money that's going to be going towards that, which I think is of critical importance. Broadband to me is the other component of how we can connect and conduct business now online. Imagine a world without broadband for certain families during COVID, when everything was done online. When everything was done online, from your health care to education to conducting business. There's no way in the world you can argue that we can live in the wealthiest, most powerful country in the world and still have individuals and families going without this basic necessity at this point. And so broadband to me is going to be a big, big factor as well when it comes to the upcoming infrastructure package. Workforce development, another big piece that I know the president spoke about. So those are some of the big pieces that I like, and certainly want to make sure we push forward. I've been very active, as you know, in the broadband space, and know for sure that our community needs some robust investment there.
You're a Democrat. The governor of New York is a Democrat. The governor, I think it's fair to say, has his troubles right now. A whole bunch of investigations going on. Does that put pressure on you?
My vantage point, what I try to do is just focus on my work in the district. That's what I've been doing from day one. I represent Democrats. I represent Republicans. I represent independents. I represent everybody in New York 19. And the focus for me has been making sure that I connect with my constituents in all 11 counties. It's why I have, my local advisory committees that focus on healthcare and small business and ag and veteran issues. It's why, we do the town halls that we do and the telephone town halls and the virtual, events. To me, the work is about grounding myself in the community I represent. You mentioned that I'm a Democrat, but before I'm a Democrat, I'm an American. You run in many cases when you're associated with a party, and that helps the electorate figure out, okay, maybe how to think about certain candidates. But once you are in office, once you are in serving and actually trying to do the work, then all you should be thinking about is the people. That's it. The people you serve. Not if they're Democrats, not if they're Republicans, not if they're unaffiliated. The people, the communities, the families. That's what the focus needs to be on. And that's how I go about my business.
Talk to me a little bit about raising taxes on the wealthy. The president is saying over $400,000 a year. How do you feel about that? Is that a good idea?
I think it's important to understand, first of all, the amount of inequality we have right now. It is the level of income inequality is incredibly high. Some of the highest we've seen in generations. And when you think about the policies that have been implemented over the last, the decade or so, a lot of these have benefited the wealthiest. They've benefited the big corporations, and the inequality has only grown as a result. Even if you go back to the Great Recession and you look at sort of the gains from the Great Recession and where the vast majority of the gains went, the vast majority went to the top 10%. And yet the people who felt the loss and the hit and lost their homes were in that bottom 90%, right? Or 40%. And so the fact that so much of our effort has only exacerbated the inequities, I think it's important at this point in time that we begin to level the playing field here and create more equity in our system. You go back to that tax bill in 2017, and there was some good stuff in there, particularly for our small businesses. But the fact that we had this massive cut for big corporations, and in return, we saw no real wage growth. And we saw a situation where there was less capital investment by these companies after the tax cut than there was before. And yet the argument for the break was that they would invest this money back into our communities. That didn't happen. Yeah. And our corporations are paying less right now than they've had in decades, but making more in profits. And I think the president mentioned this last night. The top 55 companies paid zero in taxes. And so, we have to get to a point where we're talking about upward mobility. We're talking about equal opportunity. It's hard to achieve that if the inequality is so stark that you are so far behind, communities are being left behind. How do you expect people to have a real chance here, to pursue whatever their happiness might be and not feel marginalized as a result of how far behind they started relative to someone else? No one should be in that position in America. And I think so that to me is the key. If you want to, you know, be wealthy, and you, again, I think the president was right to say this, you know, nothing against millionaires and billionaires. But the system shouldn't be such that it enables that type of wealth in a way that exacerbates the inequity, that pushes the folks who don't pursue that lifestyle to the margins. That to me is what we have to course correct.
It's always wonderful to have our friend Antonio Delgado on with us, representing the beautiful 19th District of New York State. And I spent a lot of time teaching down there, and I know how beautiful it is. Antonio, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.